And it's a bit different. A lot of it is from Common Grace. But I wanted to share with you that last year, I was one of the pastors at, in the Baptist Association who had the privilege of attending a series of listening workshops where we got to actually listen to Aboriginal elders and leaders from their community all over Australia. We had Auntie Jean Phillips, we had Brooke Prentice, we had a lot of valuable voices. One of them was a lawyer who had helped to draft the Uluru Statement. So I really learned a lot from these First Nations elders. Some of them came up to me and said, "Oh, we're the same color, where are you from?" And we started talking about food and realized that our grandmothers cooked from the same ingredients, same spices and herbs, and so it's very interesting. So in that spirit, we're going to reflect on the passage, what it means in the Bible, but also what it means for us today as modern Australians in the context of Aboriginal Sunday. Why don't I pray first? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. It's hot, it's muggy, but we thank you for bringing us here. We pray for your Spirit to be with us, in us, speaking to us, and that we would always be listening, Lord, to you, to your prophets and disciples in the Bible, to Jesus, and to your Spirit. We pray this now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I proceed, just a warning, cultural warning, that the following, not service, but message, contains images, names, and quotes of people who are deceased from the First Nations community. So on to the passage. Now, we know that this is not in the context of today. We know that this was written way before Christ. And most scholars would agree it was written by Moses. So when he's writing, or someone during that time was writing, "Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations." So we're probably referring to the Exodus when God delivered them, the people of Israel, from slavery in Egypt, and all that time that God fed them and was with them through the wilderness. And so when it talks about remembering the days of old, it's not telling us to cling on to the past, you know, the good old days, out of sentimentality or nostalgia, but to remember what God has done for us. And how one of the main ways we can remember God's goodness to us is by listening to our elders, by learning from those who have been on the journey a lot longer than us, of what they've learned about God and what they've seen of God's work. So in that spirit, we will firstly look at William Cowper. Is it Cowper or Cooper? Cowper? Okay, thank you. Because some people say Cooper, some say Cowper. But today we remember the Yorta Yorta man, William Cowper. And he was an Aboriginal Australian pastor. It says political activist and community leader there, but he was also a pastor. And in a letter to the churches in 1938, about 150 years after the arrival of the First Fleet, Cowper called upon all Christian denominations to declare the Sunday before January the 26th, Aborigines Sunday, what we now know as Aboriginal Sunday. And he continually advocated for justice in his time, not just for Aboriginal peoples, but also for those in need. So upon hearing the brutality and treatment of the Europeans, European Jews in Nazi Germany, Cowper led the only protest anywhere in the world against Hitler. It was just a dozen people that gathered to march to the German consulate in South Melbourne. But it made a difference. And today, when you go to the Melbourne Holocaust Museum, you will see a plaque dedicated to William Cowper for his efforts. He recognized injustice when he saw it, and he called it out. And that is what I think we can learn from him as Christians today. He acted to address things that he saw around him that were not right. And so he established the Australian Aborigines League, the first all-Aboriginal advocacy organization. And together they advocated the land rights, greater land rights, and a voice in the political system. So what can we learn from him today? What does his work tell us about God's heart for his people? How does his work point us towards Jesus? What did Jesus say about the poor and the disadvantaged? Remember what he said in the Beatitudes? So this, I think, is something to reflect on. Another elder who we might learn from today is Sir Doug Nicholls. Now, he was the grandnephew of William Cowper, so he obviously learned from his granduncle. A sense of justice, equity for those who didn't yet have the same rights. And look, he was not just a footballer. In fact, he was a professional athlete. He did athletics. He was also a boxer. And he was, of course, a pastor, activist, and the only Aboriginal governor to date. He was the governor of South Australia. Sir Douglas, so he was knighted, obviously, by the Queen at some stage, but he became a pastor at the age of 30. And his compassion in how he tackled disadvantage led him to be known as a father in his community, a father figure. In 1968, Nicholls was one of those who was instrumental in Australia's most successful ever referendum, where Australia removed negative discrimination in its constitution towards Aboriginal people. And they made sure they were counted amongst the population. Before 1968, Aboriginal peoples were not considered part of Australia as a population. I just can't fathom that. So it was the first time they were recognised as part of Australia, and this empowered the national government to make laws in respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples that could assist in addressing inequalities. I'm preaching on why we should care at all about the plight of Aboriginal people. Sir Douglas Nicholls said, firstly, we belong to a great family of God, and he had made out of one blood all nations of men and women. Secondly, why you should bother about the Aborigines? We're part of the great British Commonwealth of Nations. And thirdly, we want to walk with you. We don't wish to walk alone. So today we are gathering together. This service is in an effort to continue their legacy. And the legacy of Christ in many ways. who fought for peace and justice, because we know our God is a God of justice. We are at another historical point, right? Another historical juncture as Australians. This year, in around October, late this year, we will have a chance to participate in a referendum to vote for a voice in Parliament, a First Nations voice. Now, what does this mean? It doesn't mean they get a vote. It will be an advisory board. And it's a move to improve representation in Parliament for Indigenous peoples. And one of the key points in the Uluru Statement, which was drafted in 2017 and endorsed by all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders and people. So I'll just read a little excerpt, because it's relevant for us today, of what that statement says before we go into group discussion and prayer. It says, with substantive or important constitutional change and structural reform, we believe our ancient sovereignty can shine through as a fuller expression of Australia's nationhood. Proportionally, we are the most incarcerated people on the planet. We are not an innately criminal people, but our children are alienated from their families at unprecedented rates. This cannot be because we have no love for them, and our youth languish in detention in obscene numbers. They should be our hope for the future. Then it goes on to say, these dimensions of our crisis tell plainly the structural nature of our problem. This is a torment of our powerlessness. We seek constitutional reforms to empower our people and take a rightful place in our country. When we have power over our destiny, our children will flourish. They will walk in two worlds, and their culture will be a gift to their country. We call for the establishment of a First Nations voice enshrined in the Constitution. So this is what the statement advocates for. But as you may have read in the news lately and seen on TV, especially on the 26th of January, there is a lot of debate and controversy surrounding this. So I wanted to shed light on it in case you weren't clear what exactly the problem is. You've probably heard and seen Aboriginal leaders like Lydia Thorpe, the Greens senator, who has been protesting and arguing that First Nations peoples need more than an advisory board, that the voice would stand in the way of a treaty. What they need is a treaty. They need seats in Parliament. And she says that there's opportunity for a treaty that allows 10 seats in Parliament. But other Aboriginal leaders, and Common Grace as well, and the elders who came to speak to us, they say that while the voice is not perfect, it is a good thing. So we shouldn't chuck it out. And that it would be a step towards a treaty, and an important step towards reconciliation and progress, and it is stated in the statement. So the way I see it, it's really order, voice first and then treaty, or do we just fight for a treaty, because will a voice stand in the way of a treaty? That's how I see it. That's the question. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, right? But let's go back to the passage first of all. Today's passage tells us we are to remember the days of old, meaning we are to remember God's goodness to us. and remember those who have gone before us to fight for freedom and equality and justice. So when it comes to hot topics like this, we have The Voice. We will have this year also the topic of same-sex marriage and inclusion in our church, how inclusive we want to be. When it comes to topics like these, I think it is really important for us to do our homework, first of all. We need to be reading all sides of the argument. And secondly, I think when we are well informed, we need to be really, really praying over what we learn so we can discern what we have learned. And then when we vote or we act, it always has to be from a place of wisdom, the Holy Spirit's guidance, what Jesus has taught us, what the Bible tells us, what we've read, and from love, rather than fear or hate or prejudice. So that's all I'm going to say on that. I'm not an expert. But what does William Cowper teach us? What does Doug Nichols teach us? What would Jesus think of this topic? How would he vote? I've been grappling with that. And secondly, what difference would it make, right? That's what's been going through my head. By voting yes to a voice in Parliament for First Nations people, will we make a difference in their lives, in the ordinary Aboriginal person's life in remote areas? Or will it stand in the way of progress for them? But by voting no, will we also stand in the way of progress? I don't know. This is what we'll discuss in our groups today and pray over. But I just want to go through a few points in the statement. First of all, it reminds us that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are the most incarcerated peoples on the planet. So in our prison population today, I read that the latest figures say 26% of our prison population are Aboriginal people. And a lot of them are children under the age of 15. So there is a simple way of making sure that children as young as 10 don't get locked up. There is a reform that could help change this. And it's a reform that's been backed by the UN and the Attorney General departments as well. That we should increase the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14. Rather than locking the children up, we should be providing them love and teaching and support. Now, would a voice in the parliament help to improve incarceration rates? Or would it not? Another issue is COVID. Aboriginal peoples have been more affected and dying from COVID than any population in our country. Would a voice in parliament make a difference to their health and their awareness? Also, Aboriginal young people die of hate crime more than any cultural group in Australia. You would have seen in the news lately the really tragic death of Cassius Turvey last year. Yeah, he was 15, walking home from school, attacked by three grown-ups, white people, with a metal bar. And they held vigils. Thousands of people gathered for this. Now, will having a voice in Parliament be a positive step in helping to bring down the rate of hate crime among Aboriginal peoples? Or will it not? So if your answer to all these questions is yes, you know how to vote. And if it's no or not sure, you might need to keep doing your homework and praying. So now I'm going to ask you to gather in groups and this will be a time for discussion and then prayer. Besides what we've just talked about to pray on, could I also ask you to be praying for our kids who will be returning to school this week, those who are starting new schools, especially for Manu and Caitlin, who will be starting high school, year 7, and also for Shirley, who's not feeling well, who has pain. And English class that will be starting on Tuesday. So if you could pray for those, but first of all, 3 questions to discuss. There'll be some time for this. What is something new you learnt today about our First Nations people? What would a voice mean for ordinary Aboriginal communities? And what would a voice mean for us as a church? Not just as a church family, but as a broader church. So please gather in groups, and I will say when you can start praying, so you know for time, and then close in prayer. nice to hear the discussion. Sorry to interrupt, but if you want to finish what you're saying and go into prayer, and I will close in prayer in about 5 minutes. So please be praying for what you discussed, the kids going back to school, Shirley and English class. Thank you. One minute. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of listening and this time of discussion and this time of prayer. Lord, help us not to just think and talk about this now. Guide us in our conversations over morning tea, lunch, but also help us to continue these conversations in our heart with you. Give us wisdom, guidance to know how to vote. Lord, we pray that the government would supply more information to actually what we're voting for, what a voice would entail. We pray also for our children returning to school. We pray safety for them and that you calm their nerves, Lord. We pray especially for Manu and Caitlin starting high school. We pray relief from pain for those who are suffering right now, Mary Watts, Shirley, Morel, Helen, many in our church family. And Lord, we pray for us all. As we continue into morning tea, may you be with us for the rest of the day and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.